Ukraine Calling.
We need to develop our research system within the universities. We need to combine the system of National Academy of Sciences and the system of higher education. And of course, we need to cut the number and increase the quality of our universities.
Now, I don't know if he helped destroy one of the first statues of Vladimir Lenin, but it was an early one.
Yes.
Ivan Mihailovich Academy, one of our best universities in the nation and with a great reputation. How do you finance? Because we're a poor nation, as we all know.
First of all, a better example, I think, for Ukraine, not American system of higher education, but Canadian system, maybe. We already have some politicians who understand the importance of, you know, change the mind concerning, you know, the purpose, the goal of educational system in Ukraine.
So I start today. This is Brian Bonner, host of Hromadske Radio's Ukraine Calling program. We have a great one today. We have a living legend in the educational establishment, Sergei Kvik. He is the president of Kyiv Mihaila Academy, longtime president, and former education minister of Ukraine. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Brian. I'm glad to see you.
And he is the author of this book, which I just got done reading this week, called Media, History, and Education. Highly recommend it. It's a riveting romp through Ukrainian history in all of its facets, so all the way up to the present day. So here we are, third year of a full-scale war. How has that affected, damaged education generally, aside from buildings?
It damages Ukrainian education. But you know that full-scale war started just after the
COVID pandemic.
Yeah, we're
still recovering.
That is why we actually have a lot of years, about 5 or 6 years, damaging of our education system, particularly higher education. We have a lot of problems. Our community and a lot of, I believe, communities of other Ukrainian universities scattered, across the world. And we have a lot of problems and the challenges, but at the same time, we at Kyiv Mihaila Academy try to look at such challenges as new opportunities too, you know. For instance, Kyiv Mihaila Academy, from the very beginning of full-scale war, established a special international project, which we called Kyiv Mihaila Global Academy. It means we think that we establish our international campuses in Northern America and Western Europe. Of course, we don't have any property on those countries, but at the same time, you know, we have very close collaboration with some universities, particularly in Northern America. It's University of Toronto. It's two German universities. In Great Britain, it's University of Glasgow. Some university in France, we have more and more new friends, new close partners, among international, universities. And we have a lot of, new opportunities too. You know, this project includes the our office of Kyiv Mihaila at those universities, our office exchange programs for teachers and students, and also common research groups. And finally, we try to publish results of their research activities, and the first book of such results will be published at Toronto University Press next mm-hmm. year.
You have so many interesting experiences. And for those who may not know, he comes to his anti-Soviet, anti-Russian imperialism from childhood, pretty much.
Yeah.
Sees nothing good in the Russian culture and nothing to emulate. I don't know if he helped destroy one of the first statues of Vladimir Lenin, but it was an early one.
Yes, it was when I was a student at the university, student of the Faculty of Journalism of Taras Shevchenko University in Kyiv. I believe maybe it was in 1989 1989 or 1990, I destroyed the statue of Lenin, which we have inside of our building, of our faculty. Yeah, it was.
And your accomplice was your dean, right?
Yes. Together, deputy dean.
Deputy dean.
Yeah, and you remember this story, interesting story about the deputy dean, because during his life, he hated, you know, communists. At the same time, he was a member of Communist Party. You know, it was quite common in the Soviet period of time.
You had to be. Alone,
it was the opportunity to him to show his attitude, you know, to communists and Russian imperialism. And he asked me, you know, to bring the statue to the basement. I didn't know why I should do this, but he asked me as a you know I was an activist at the time, you know we as active students established all the first organizations, you know the faculty and within the university, and finally we destroyed the statues. Yeah,
thank God. Yes, yeah. Gave the excuse you were taking it out for washing, and it never returned. And that, I think, crystallizes what you've tried to do as education minister and throughout your career. You wrote about it in the book to make a complete break from the Soviet past in terms of education, or a near complete break. And the reason is you want us to have academic quality, academic independence, and so that a degree here matters. It's respected as the Bologna process is, which is integration
idea was the comprehensive university autonomy,
right,
which includes at least financial autonomy, academic autonomy, and organizational autonomy. Unfortunately, until now we don't have financial autonomy, but all our universities have full academic autonomy, like American universities, for instance, but they can't capitalize their achievements because they still don't have financial autonomy. It means our state still controls financial life of our universities, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
And we're not able to push through that change at when you're education minister. By the way, the Kypos named you the best reformer.
Of 2015. Thank you so much.
Yes. For your efforts in
2015, 2014.
Yeah, 2015, our 20th 14. Anniversary. That was a great party. Financially, it can't be good now for education because all of our available money or a lot of our available money is going to the war.
But I think we mustn't grumble, because of the circumstances of this full-scale war, of course. But at the same time, my point is that we faced, of course, new problems related to the war, but at the same time, there is no new problems. All of them were borrowed from the post-Soviet time, from the very beginning of our independence. We didn't change our system completely. First of all, about what I mentioned about financial life of our universities, and currently, we can organize the educational process. We do this. We have research. We have new great projects, but we don't have financial autonomy. It means. It's absolutely ridiculous.
But how do you get that? How do you finance? Because we're a poor nation, as we all know. And I wouldn't say, I know the American educational system has many achievements, but education, to be good, it needs to be universal and accessible to most of the public.
Yeah.
Now we have Vanderbilt made headlines, the first university that charges $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
And as you've studied in America too, postgraduate, people are coming out of there with debt, huge life crippling debt. And at the same time here, on the other hand, I still hear from students that my degree is not worth anything wherever I am. Is that true? What is the right mix? Are we starting to get the respect internationally for the education that we have, or is it just still mixed?
First of all, a better example, I think, for Ukraine, not American system of higher education, but Canadian system, maybe, because I believe that all Canadian universities are public, you know.
Right.
In Ukraine, we have public and private higher education institutions. But unfortunately, private are not competitive to public for different reasons, you know. But in Canada, all universities are independent financially, you know, and the state doesn't try to manage these universities manually, you know.
So they get public funds, but they're allowed to manage
not,
them.
Not only public funds, because encourage their activity, you know, and not only public funds. They have different sources of funds, but they don't manage them manually, you know. That is why I think we will not have good universities with enough level of quality on the international arena before our universities will be independent financially. It's the main point, you know, and we reach this goal after the war, I believe. We are going on the right way, but until now, our universities are not independent financially. It's a core point, you know, how we can develop our higher education system. But at the same time, we did a lot, concerning development of our higher education institutions. And I think we have our universities, we have a lot of universities who are quite successful, even on international level. But currently, it's a kind of paradox that we have weak institutions, for different reasons, but we have, strong graduates. It's interesting because our graduates, it's not only about Kyiv Mohyla Academy, but about all Ukrainian universities, are quite competitive when they continue their education abroad or when they start their career as researchers. Yeah. They're quite competitive. That is why, it's very promising, but we need to change a lot. And the second point, besides financial independence, we need to develop our research system within the universities. We need to combine the system of National Academy of Sciences and the system of higher education, because it was divided conceptually from the middle of 1920s. It was the Soviet concept. To control both systems, and they divided it. It means, according to Soviets, the purpose of university activity is education itself, but research, it's for another system, for the system of Academy of Sciences. It was divided.
And you were not a fan of the National Academy of Sciences. Now, you had said in the book that unfortunately, after independence, that too many governments saw education as an expenditure to get whatever's left over from the budget, not an investment.
Yeah.
Has that changed?
To be honest, it's not changed. It's not changed according to policy because of the war. But I think that we already have some politicians who understand the importance of, change the mind concerning, the purpose, the goal of educational system in Ukraine. And I think some of them, understand that it's investment, all money that we have for educational system, it's an investment for the future. I think it is changing, we can speak about new generation of politicians, And we have very strong civil society in Ukraine. But civil society on the one hand, but on the other hand, we still don't have, effective state.
Mm-hmm.
And but I believe that it's the time when everything is changing. And I'm very optimistic, you know.
Is there one world ranking which you trust, which everybody says this is the perfect ranking?
There are some the most so-called, powerful rankings, like Shanghai ranking, QS ranking, and some more at the times. What is the problem to us that the main point, the most important criterion within such rankings is the result of research, the structure of our universities, we have such structure that very small percentage of activity of any university devoted to research, very small, it should be changed from 2 or 5% to 60%, for instance,
Right.
But at the same time, we need to change, we need to create some new types of universities. I can compare with this idea, I can compare what I mean with liberal art colleges in United States. They don't have any research, but they pay their attention to the personal development of students. Mm-hmm. It's another kind of higher education, institution, and we need to create similar institutions.
Hopefully you won't charge as much for tuition as Americans.
After the collapse of the Soviet Union, we still we still require from universities, from all of them, results of research. But very often it's just imitation of research, with publications in some strange journals and so on. That is why we need to establish new types of higher education institutions for the variety, for with different purposes. And I think it will be a strengthening of the whole system. And of course, we need to cut the number and increase the quality of our university.
You started doing that, cutting the number and increasing the quality as education minister. We still have too many?
We still have too many. For instance, when I worked, as a minister, we closed down about 100 institutions,
right.
100. Maybe it's the most ridiculous, institutions. But we still have a lot of them. And in time of the full-scale war, we have additional problem with universities that were moved from occupied territory, territories. We started to work with them in 2014,
right.
And we relocated, I believe, 18 universities, and all of them, all of them find it, a new place and their niche in different parts of Ukraine. But currently, we have huge number of such institutions, which all of them were completely destroyed. We have completely destroyed cities and towns in Ukraine and villages. That is why they don't have any infrastructure for education and research. They don't have teachers and so on. That is why I think currently we need a special policy from the government concerning the number of institutions, because it's really huge, and I think it should be kind of a policy. It requires not just decisions of Minister of Education and Sciences, but it should be policy of the government.
You're talking, you want to close them because they're not delivering quality education. Yeah, they're just delivering diplomas.
Yeah, diploma meals,
right?
Or you know, very small and very strange, or you know, without any quality, you right. know, without teachers and so on.
Well, yeah. I can name many, and I know you can name many more. I believe good quality universities in Ukraine, but the last time I checked, we don't show up anywhere in the international rankings very high. Is it because of is that fair or not fair?
Interesting question about participation in international rankings, because you know, I like personally, I like the European approach, because they don't have their European ranking like from the best to the worst. It's more close to the idea of marketing or something, you know. Right. When you try to sell something, you, it's the best, it's the worst. But Europeans try to develop their own ranking with different, you know, different ideas how you can show it, you know, itself as the best university within different requirements. You know, for instance, it could be. What is your attitude to students, you know, mm-hmm. and what is, not, it's not only about research, but it's a quality of teaching, a quality, you know, it's different criteria, you know, different criteria. And you could be the best in one type, one part of this rank, the same ranking, or could be could occupy you know, a worse position in other part of the same ranking, but uniqueness of university and how you fulfill the you know, the strategy, you know, and what is your relations and how you useful for local community. And a lot of different, you know, requirements to the same universities, and you could be, you know, could show itself as the best in some from five approaches. You know, that is why I think I think it's an idea related to representation of a higher education institution from the point of quality assurance. You know, because. You in this case, you should remember about different requirements, you right. know, and different ideas. Why are you the best? You know, it's not only you know, research, because the main idea of the biggest rankings is research, you know, and in fact, such universities like Stanford, Oxford, Harvard. It's, you know, huge international enterprises, you know.
Right.
It's not only about universities, but this, you know, the system of ecosystem, you know, ecosystem of research, ecosystem of, you know, it's ecosystem for the development of industry, new ideas, well, you know, and so on.
One test is mm-hmm. how your graduates, do they get jobs? I have to say, from my own experience, the answer is yes. Yeah, I think at any time when I was the chief editor of the Kyiv Post, up to half of our staff were Kyiv Mihyla graduates
yes.
or students, and they were great. For the most part, really, really fantastic, well-educated. And I didn't point out that Kyiv Mihyla Academy has led basically all the innovations that we've had in education in Ukraine. Problem is, I couldn't afford to keep them. I mean, the salaries were very low in journalism, as you might guess. And do you have that same problem with attracting talented professors,
you know, yes, of course, we have some, you know, problems with this, particularly with salaries. But coming back to your mentioning of our graduates, of course, we are proud of our right. graduates, and it's interesting that we have, for instance, currently we have a lot of ambassadors of Ukraine, you know, to different countries. But at the same time, we didn't have any preparation of, you know, for international relations. For instance, Oksana Markarova is the ambassador of Ukraine to United States, and she's a graduate of the program of ecology. You know, we have you know, Ukrainian ambassador to Canada, who is graduate of our one
Shevchenko.
Shevchenko. It was my student, by the way. He was journalist, but current ambassador is
also a graduate.
Yulia Kovalev.
Uh-huh.
Also, she's our she's economist.
Right.
The ambassador of Ukraine to some Latin American countries like Peru, I believe Colombia, and some more. Also, our graduate who is historian, and he belonged to the top 10 researchers of Maya culture. You know, that is why we are proud of our graduates, but. You know, at the same time, of course, salaries in Ukrainian universities and particularly Kyiv Mohyla Academy are quite low. What we do, you know, we, of course, you know, Kyiv Mohyla Academy is the most expensive Ukrainian universities because we have some part of our students who pay, you know, tuition fees just for their education. We are the most expensive, and also we encourage our teachers and our PhD students in participation in different international projects, and they are very active. We encourage our teachers and students to establish their own research centers, you know, at Kyiv Mohyla Academy, and that is why we try to involve you know, some additional finances. From different sources, particularly international sources, you know, because as I mentioned, our, you know, relations with the state is quite, you know.
Yes, you covered that. And one of the reasons why we have strong civil society is that we've not had always the strong state that we need. What is the future of education? Because in America, they're starting to debate, do I really need a college education? Uh-huh. Because we have AI now, you can find a catalog of knowledge basically online anywhere. I know we're going to always need universities, thank God. But where do you see this going in the future, given all the explosion of knowledge that keeps happening?
You know that for Ukrainian higher education institutions, of course. We need to do a lot, you know, we need to borrow some ideas. First of all, I believe from United States because of the task of obtaining of, you know, financial autonomy. It means comprehensive university autonomy. And American example is very good for us, of course. And it's our way to develop our research and, you know, to develop knowledge in different spheres, you know. But at the same time, I think the social responsibility of universities are very important. And our universities, I believe, in the future will play, you know, a greater role as a agents of change, you know, as a it means, you know, social change in Ukraine because
played that role at Kyiv Mohyla Academy.
Yeah, we do this.
You have any regrets about being active
like
in
a tribune
revolution?
For independent tribune for freedom of speech?
Right.
You know, and it's important that a university our universities must become such, you know.
Part of the community.
Part of the community.
Part of the community.
And it's. I think this role will be growing.
I have to tell you that you took over from Dmytro Tabachnik.
Uh huh.
That is like ideologically, folks. This is like whiplash because these are two opposite people. Yeah. You wrote he's a Kremlin agent. That's basic. He did a lot of damage.
He was not so danger person for the higher education system. Why? Because he was danger ideologically, because he spread it, you know, Russian imperial narratives and so on. There is no Ukrainian people, no Ukrainian history,
language,
you know, Ukrainian language. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. But at the same time, we have such centralized system borrowed from the Soviet period of time that he as a minister couldn't do something, you know, worst something very bad for the educational system by himself. Ministry of Education and Sciences needs the support, at least from the minister or Ministry of Finances, Ministry of Economy, Minister of Justice.
So there were ways to stop.
That is why, and all of them needed the support from the government. That is why he was not so, dangerous for us.
Did you have conflict, or you just avoided him?
Yeah, No. I believe that we had three cases in the court, and we became finally winners in all cases, in all cases against Tabachnik. Yeah. And also when he was appointed to this position, I published my public appeal to academic community against Dmytro Tabachnik, and he was absolutely ridiculous person, even among people who belonged to the ruling party at that time. Some of them hated Tabachnik. That is why it's absolutely. But so, what is interesting? What was the most interesting in such situation? He was supported by Russian Orthodox Church. It's really interesting for
which
me.
Are Kremlin agents.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And he served a president who was guilty of plagiarism in his own degree.
Only degree, in some publications that was, we knew such publications as publications of the president, but of course it was prepared.
Those are the times. It was interesting to read. You said that the Soviet education was not so bad in some areas, like research, and you said there was actually more plagiarism
absolutely.
In independent Ukraine in the 90s than Soviet.
The plagiarism was not a tool for development of professional career in the Soviet period of time. You're right, absolutely. Because it was kind of conspiracy between Communist Party.
The planes have to fly, bombs have to explode. Absolutely.
But at the same time, the ghostwriting was very popular in the Soviet Union. Ghostwriting.
Oh, yes.
Like today, but today in different, different way. Mm. It's very dangerous even for the Western system, ghostwriting. You know, I believe that British, were the most successful. They changed their legislation against, against the ghostwriting. But I think in the Soviet period of time, they stole everything that they could.
Externally,
externally.
Are we long gone? Is plagiarism not a big problem? And do we have universal external admission standards across the country, academic quality? Is everything generally rising? Because they're connected. If you like higher education and lower education. If you have bad lower education, you're not going to get good students.
We still have plagiarism as a problem for Ukraine, but it is going down, I think, last years, because of big activity of our public persons, who are activists in this sphere because of some decisions of the government, because of activity of the National Agency for High Education Quality Assurance. And currently, by the way, our parliament is considering a special law, on academic integrity. That is why, it is going down.
So we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately.
But ghostwriting and some other problems are still very dangerous and damaging for the system. Yeah.
And AI has given fits to educators, too. I know we got to wrap up, but you said you saw this invasion coming. You wrote that. And I believe you're right, because you outlined...
From the childhood.
Yeah, you made it clear we have plenty of history and plenty of values and plenty of culture. It's just that it gets ignored sometimes by the West, and it gets drowned out by Russian narratives, imperial narratives. Mm-hmm. all of this is academic, education reform, academic, if we don't win the war. Do you see any reason to believe we are not going to emerge from this more strong and we're going to win?
You mean we...
The Ukraine is going to win this war so that we can get on with educating our students and
you know...
do you have any doubt?
In time of the war, we have a lot of achievements, formal achievements with what our government did or our Ministry of Education and Sciences did. But the most important is that our society is changing the mind concerning a lot of, you know,
important questions. We're going to make a clean break. I think you referred your grandmother saying World War II, that war clarifies everything.
Yes,
we will
yes,
never have a pro-Russian narrative here.
Political, you know, particularly it's not only about narratives, because I think maybe it sounds strange for you, but Russian narratives were much more successful for the West, not for Ukraine.
For Ukraine.
Because you know, Putin for Ukraine, for the most Ukraine of Ukrainians, was completely ridiculous person, you know, with his narratives. But you know, there are some additional important questions, like issues related to Ukrainian language, what kind of preparation of our students we had previously, because we have a lot of, you know, percentage, you know, we had a lot of, for instance, you know, books from Russian literature. Why from Russian literature? Because we needed maybe to know more text from Ukrainian literature, from literature of some European or some American countries, you know. That is why it is changing. But I think the issue
are we gonna
of
win
the language is very important.
Of course, and you made that very clear, and I think we won. Are we going to win this war eventually?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, we will win this war, and we get back all our territories. Of course, I absolutely convinced.
I'm going to have you on again. We barely scratched the surface. He's President Sergei Kvit, longtime Kiev Mihaly Academy, one of our best universities in the nation and with a great reputation. And the book is Media, History, and Education. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Brian.
And for the rest of you, we'll see you next week on Ukraine Calling. Have a great week.